Well, guys, we started our series, Jesus the Miracle Worker, last week, and we saw some miracles, didn't we? Let me tell you a few. Want to hear a few? Sarah Turner had a stroke 6 months ago. Had a little TIA back here in the children's department. went down. We didn't know if it was blood sugar or high blood pressure. We didn't know what was going on. And then she left the children's department. We said, you probably ought to go to the doctor. I believe in doctors. Doctors are awesome. They've helped me a lot in my life. And so she went to the doc in the box, and he said, I don't know, go home. So she went home and had a stroke. Completely paralyzed on the right side of her body. I mean, within like 2 hours. So we went and saw her in the hospital. She couldn't move her leg, couldn't move her arm, had the draw on her mouth, the whole deal. And she's been recovering over the last 6 months. The only thing that wouldn't, and everybody was, we were praying for her and waiting to see God move in her life and heal her. And I had a word from God that she would be completely healed. Don't be afraid. Don't be worried. Keep walking forward. Keep doing all the rehab and all the stuff that she needed to do. But God's going to completely restore you. And I think it was third service this last week. Somebody laid hands on her and prayed for her. The only thing that wasn't working well was her hand. She still couldn't write. She couldn't hold things. She couldn't grip. And that was completely restored on Sunday. She had a complete use of her right hand. We had another little girl, Elena, had back trouble for a long, long time. And she said when somebody prayed for her, laid hands on, listen, it wasn't me. It wasn't any special healing person, okay? I don't even know who it was. Laid hands on her and prayed for her, and she felt her back realigning. She felt it cracking and popping, and she had a big hump on her back that was always painful and always bothered her, and that went, like right then, went completely away, and she has had no back pain this whole entire week. So that's really some exciting stuff. So Jesus, the miracle worker, and what we discovered last week is that he wants to heal us. Not some of us, not a few of us, not the special ones, not the ones with the red shirts on. If you were in Star Trek, you wouldn't want to wear that, by the way. The red shirts are the guys that get wiped out. And so I've been praying this week about what God wanted to do. Look in Luke with me. I had a really funny story I was going to tell, but it'll have to wait. It's funny, though. Luke chapter 6. And we're going to take a look at verse 6. This is one of my favorite stories in Scripture. I love it because it's surprising. No, that's my wife. Luke 6, 6. Why, what says Mark? Does the bulletin say Mark? Oh, well, bulletin's wrong. It happens sometimes, right? Luke 6, verse 6 says this. On another Sabbath, he went into, this is Jesus, went into the synagogue and was teaching. And a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. Now, it doesn't tell us why. Doesn't tell us what his name is, just that his right hand was shriveled. It might have been an accident, might have been something that happened when he was a kid, might have been born that way, but his right hand was shriveled. Now, you have to understand this about the Jewish people at this time. We're still in the Old Testament. Okay, it's a New Testament story, but Jesus hadn't died. He hadn't risen from the dead, so it was still the Old Testament covenant. And in the Old Testament covenant, people who had injuries or deformities or who were born with birth defects, anything that happened to you that was bad was because you were disobedient to God. So you received the curses of the law if you worshiped idols, Deuteronomy 28. If you get a chance, read Deuteronomy 28. It's awesome because the first half of Deuteronomy 28 is about the blessings. If you follow me, if you worship me wholeheartedly, if you do not worship idols, these blessings will come upon you. And then there's blessing after blessing after blessing. You'll be blessed when you go out. You'll be blessed when you come in. Your animals will be blessed. Your children will be blessed. Blessing, 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 blessing. And then at the end of Deuteronomy 28 are the curses. If you do not, then these curses will come upon you. And it's the exact opposite. Well, the people knew the law. So they knew that if there was a curse on someone, if there was something wrong physically with them, if they were born with a defect, it was because someone had sinned. That's how they saw it. In fact, there's a story in John chapter 9, which I think we're talking about in another sermon in another week, about a man who was born blind. And his disciples, Jesus' disciples, asked him the question, who sinned? Remember this story? Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, didn't you always wonder why they asked that? That's why. Because it was obvious that someone had been worshiping idols, someone had sinned because this man has a defect, he was born without sight, so we know that God's curse is upon him instead of the blessing. So whose fault is it? Now, we think that's really weird, or at least I always did. Why would they ask that? But we do the same thing. Whose fault is this? I talked a little bit about this last week, right? The lady who came to me and said, I have these tumors, and I in my lungs, I just found out I might have lung cancer. Would you pray for me? And I said, I thought, well, you smoked. It's your fault. I didn't know if she smoked, but I wondered, do you smoke? It must be your fault. So we do this. Whose fault is this? Of course you're broken. Of course you have problems. It's your fault. Or it's someone else's fault in your life. Who's to blame? Now, Jesus doesn't think like that in the New Covenant. In the New Covenant, Jesus wants to heal us all. So the man has a shriveled hand. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking. I used to think that was really amazing, that Jesus would know what they are thinking, because he's a man like us. I still think it's amazing. But, you know, after the Pharisees, Sadducees, teachers of the law did this two or three times, I bet he figured it out. So it's probably still amazing, but it's also one of the, oh, okay, they're wondering. They're probably looking to accuse me of something, healing on the Sabbath. Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, get up and stand in front of everyone. So if I was to call on you today and say, get up and stand in front of everyone with your flaw, with your brokenness, with your hurt, with your pain, with your physical deformity, Think about what that would do to you. Now, why would Jesus do that? Now, I know what he says later. We'll read this in just a minute, what he says to the man. He really gives two requests to the man. One is, stand up in front of everyone. Remember back to John 9, I was talking about the man, and the disciples were saying, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You know what Jesus' answer was to them? Anyone? You are quiet, quiet today. Just quiet. Jesus says, nobody sinned. This was done in this man so that the works of God might be displayed in his life. So the works of God might be displayed in his life. Well, I looked up displayed. I look up things all the time on my phone, in my dictionary. So I looked up displayed. You know what displayed means? Am I just here by myself? Are you guys with me at all? To display is to put something where people can see it. To show off. You have anything displayed at your house? I always wanted to display things. I always wanted to display trophies. But I never had any. No, that's not true. I did win the fifth grade science fair, and I got a trophy for that. But, you know, is that really something you want to display? I have a plaque in my office that I'm displaying. Mark was in a golf tournament, and he came back. He won the longest putt on this green, and he got a plaque. Longest putt. And he brought it in. He was like, why in the world? Who cares? Who would put this up? And I said, I will. And it's on my wall. I remember that tournament when I got the longest putt. It was so great. He wants to put us on display. And he wants to put this man with the shriveled hand on display, so he has him stand up in front of everyone. And this man becomes an object lesson that Jesus is using to show God's glory. Now, is that offensive? I mean, really, let's just think about this. That God would call you out and say, I want to put you on display. I want others to see my glory in your life and how what I do in you and for you. I'm going to show you off. Now, in our culture, I think that's a little tough. But I don't think Jesus has changed. Every single person that got healed last week, I had them come forward in front of you, all of you. Now, I don't know if everyone got healed, but I know a lot of people did, because Jesus wanted to show off. So one of the things that we have to do is to be willing to stand up in front of everyone. A little foretaste of things to come. Here's what I've discovered. We ask for help when the pain of our condition is stronger than the fear of exposure. Need me say that again? We ask for help when the pain of our condition is stronger than the fear of exposure. So Jesus says to the man, get up and stand in front of everyone. So he got up and stood there. What do you think he felt like? I'm guessing because everyone around him thought he was cursed because of this shriveled hand, I'm guessing he always had a pocket that he kept his hand in. I would. If every time somebody saw you with a shriveled hand, they thought, you're a sinner. You're an idol worshiper. You don't love God. You did something in your past, or your family did something in their past. That's why God's cursed you this way. I would keep my hand in my pocket, like all the time, and I would become a lefty. Get up and stand in front of everyone. So he did. And then Jesus said to them, he's really talking to the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, those who are waiting to accuse him. I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? He looked around at them all, and then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. Now, here's where the choice comes in. Because how many hands does he have? It's not hard. It's not a hard question. Two hands, left hand, right hand. He said, stretch out your hand. Now, we all know the hand Jesus is talking about. Stretch out your shriveled hand. But Jesus didn't say stretch out your shriveled hand. He said, stretch out your hand. And so the shriveled hand man had a choice. Do I stretch out my shriveled hand and show everyone in the synagogue the curse that's on my life because of sin in my past or sin in my parents' past or whatever it is? Do I stretch out my broken hand or do I stretch out my good hand? This one works just fine. Look at this. Dexterity. I write with this. I smooth my eyebrows with it. It's perfect. And we also have a choice. We also have a choice. And when Jesus calls to you and says, I want to fix this in you, stand up in front of everyone and stretch this out. Show everyone. We can either stretch out our shriveled hand, or we can say, I'm okay. I don't need anything. Are you with me? I worked on the bathroom all week. Sue was gone at camp for 12 days, which is way, way, way too long. I guess they had a great camp. It was Nazarene camp. It was run by Nazarene people, which, you know, that's great. It was good. It was a good camp. And they, like, tried to recruit her. They want her to be a Nazarene. Isn't that little thing that looks like an orange? Tangerine. That's what I'd name my denomination, the Tangerines. So Sue was away at camp, so I'm working on the bathroom, trying to make our bathroom was a mess. So I worked for 12 days in the bathroom. And so Tim Maurer came and helped me every single night. He would come over and stay until 10 o'clock at night, and we'd be working on the bathroom together. And I don't know a lot about construction, like drywall's hard. Did you know that? And you have to be really patient. Because you're supposed to like smooth the mud on and then sand it and then smooth the mud on and sand it and smooth the mud on. You're supposed to do this. There's a certain way you're supposed to do it. And Tim said, now, this isn't ready yet. And I said, really? He goes, yeah. He said, if you really want to know, put a light at an angle. Look at the wall at an angle and you can see all the bumps and everything. And I thought that sounded way too hard. So I just painted it. That's bad, right? Because I thought, if you paint it, then it'll cover all that up. And all those bumps and flaws and lines, they won't show because the paint will cover it up. That's wrong. I found out. So my drywall doesn't look too good. And listen, I've had times in my life where I thought if I just covered something up, then no one would see the flaws. No one would see the sin. No one would see the brokenness. I just cover it up. If you just cover it up, then nobody will see it. They'll go, ooh, that's a pretty wall. Ooh, Todd, you have a pretty life. Ooh, your thought life's awesome, Todd. All covering it up does is just show it more. When you put it in the light, you can see every flaw. Why are we so scared of people knowing us? I think I've learned a lot of lessons over the years. God gave me two lessons this week that I want to share with you. One of those is when Sue quit teaching and took the job here at the church, we gave up our health care because it was through her school. And so Mark said, look, you guys got to get health care. And I said, okay, we'll get health care. And I did. I did just what I said I'd do. And it was $480 a month at the time. Which, you know, that's a lot of money. And then it went up to five something. And then we got a letter a month, 2 months ago, that in beginning August 1st, it's going to go up to $1,080 a month. Plus $13,000 deductible. So I called the Anthem Blue Cross lady. I think it was on Tuesday. I called her and I said, hey, this can't be right. And she said, oh, yeah, it is. That's what it is. I said, well, do you have anything less? No, we don't. If you make this much money, you can apply for Obamacare. Well, we make more than that. I said, what am I supposed to do? She said, I don't know, sir. I said, it's not like I'm sitting on 15 grand and I just don't know how to spend it. We don't have it. How can I give you what I don't have? We don't have it. Yes, I'm very sorry. She was real nice. You know, I tried not to be mad at her. It's not like her, it's her fault. She's not making those decisions. And so I didn't know what to do. So I hung up the phone and then I was just in turmoil for like 2 hours. And I'm talking to myself and I'm going, what are we gonna do? I told Mark we'd have health insurance, but I can't have health. And I talked and I talked and I talked. And by the end of that 2 hours, I was just wound up. I was worried. I was full of fear. I was near tears. And so I'm talking to God about it. And he said, shut up. I'm not kidding. Shut up. Oh, okay. He said, I got this. No, I don't have an answer. But I know the man who does. I know the God who does. I'm waiting. We have 3 days to make a decision on this, right? What's going to happen with that? I don't know. But I trust God. Look, I know some of you talk yourself into unbelievable circumstances. And you talk yourself to death about your circumstances. And you throw yourself into worry and fear and panic. I did it. And I've done that for years. And I think it was the grace of God. Because I ran into a gal at a convenience store the next day. And she was talking about taking her medicine. And I said, oh, you didn't take your medicine? She said, no. I said, what are you taking? She told me. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, ask her what else she takes. So I said, well, what other medicine do you take? And she went down this long list. Antidepressants, antipsychotics, anti-anxieties, on and on and on. And God welled up such compassion in me. Now, you know God's changing me. I'm going to wear a cape with a C on it. Captain Compassion. Because God is giving me compassion for people that I never had compassion before in my life. And so as she talked, compassion welled up in me. And I said, can I pray for you? She said, that'd be great. Would you do that? So here's what the Lord showed me. It all comes down to this. He said, in this room today, there will be people who fall into several categories, and he wants to heal you of these things. He wants you to know his peace, God's peace. I've been walking in the peace of God for about 4 years, and it's better than anxiety. It's better than depression. The first thing is fear. And he showed me that in these three services today, there will be people in the congregation who are full of fear. You live in fear. You don't let it show. You don't show people. But you're fearful. Some of you are fearful about money, fearful about the future. He also said there'd be one or two in this room that are fearful of Alzheimer's. That you think about this all the time, that you're going to lose your mind. You're going to lose your ability to think and reason and remember. Anxiety, worry. There's one or two in here with panic. You have like panic attacks. Now, I know this is not like physical healing where you'll be able to, yeah, my arm works. This is something that God has chosen to do today in healing. Also insomnia. There's three or four or five, maybe five in the room. You're not sleeping. You wake up all through the night. Sometimes you wake up in fear. Sometimes you wake up in panic. You have bad dreams. You have nightmares. And then depression as well. God's going to heal you today. Today is your day. You know that last song we just sang during the offering? That was my theme song the entire time that I was waiting for God to heal my heart. And there's sometimes when we just keep pressing on. We keep pressing on and we wait until God says, today is the day, now is the time, now is the day. And so what I want you to do as a congregation is just stand up. Everybody stand up. And I'm not going to have you stand up here in front of all. But I am going to have you, if this is something that, these things that I said, okay, fear, anxiety, worry, panic, insomnia, depression, nightmares. If that's you, would just raise your hand right now. Raise them high. Let me see them. Because everybody around you is going to see you. I want them to see you. This is your shriveled hand. Okay. Now, if you're next to, near someone, keep your hands up. With your hands, with their hands raised, I want you as the body of Christ, the church of Christ, to go to those people right now. Right now. Just move. Go to someone. And we're going to pray for them. I'm going to teach you how to pray, okay? I'm going to teach you how to do this. Go ahead. Move, move, move. Make sure everybody has somebody. Earl, you got mom? Yeah? Anybody else? Everybody got somebody? Okay. Begin to pray for them. I'm going to pray as well. And as you hear me, I might say something that you say, wow, I need to know that. Okay, I need to pray that. And then you just pray this. You pray your own prayers and you can use some of the things that I'm praying as well, okay? And we're gonna pray out loud. You're gonna pray out loud for your person, not silently. They need to hear you pray for them. Father, I pray for this person that I'm laying my hands on in the name of Jesus. I come against this problem. I come against anxiety. I come against fear. I come against depression. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of this over them. I break it off of them in Jesus' name. Nice. Now, if you're an anxious person, don't be praying peace for them because you don't know it yet. But just do this. Just receive the peace of Jesus Christ. Receive the peace of Jesus Christ in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, bring your peace right now in the name of Jesus. Just fall on your people. There we go. There we go. And the Holy Spirit is inviting you into a new relationship with Him this morning where you know the peace of God and where you walk in the peace of God. All the time, not some of the time, not when you're in church, all the time. And that might mean you have to change the things you say. Stop talking. You're saying the wrong things. Stop talking. And begin to speak what the Holy Spirit tells you to speak. I trust you, God. I trust you with my life. I trust you with the future. I trust you with what you want to do in me. I trust you with what you want to do for me. I trust you to take care of my financial situation. I trust you with my mind. I trust you with my nights. And Father, I pray that you would bring the sweet sleep of the righteous to your people from this day forward. Those who have the courage and the boldness to hold up their shriveled hand and say, I need help. I need your touch. I need healing. I pray, Father, that you would bring them sleep-filled nights from this day forward in the name of Jesus so that they might know that you have touched them and that you have healed them in Jesus' name. We ask it in your name. In your name we ask it. Hallelujah. We praise you. We praise you. Now, those of you who are holding your hand up, who just got prayed for, I just want you to give a report to the people that are praying for you and with you. Do you feel different? Did you feel something change inside of you? Do you have a difference in you? Do you feel the peace of God? Do you know the peace of God? Just tell them that. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, here's what we're going to do. We have, I know some of you came today for for physical healing too. You maybe even brought somebody. I want them prayed for to receive physical healing. We'll do that at the close of the service. Okay, so if you want to be prayed for something physical at the close of the service, then come up here, and there will be people here who will pray for you specifically for that. But for this part of the service, this is what God instructed me to do. If you go ahead and find your seats and sit back down.